The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. The very idea of womanhood is under assault, and Lisa Bevere is fighting to restore the divine image of male and female.
I don't like seeing men emasculated. I am the mother of four boys. I don't like to see that men are being mocked or stripped. They don't even know how to behave in culture and society. I don't like that women are being told if they want to be powerful, they need to go into the man's world. I want the woman to know that she's valuable in her world.
I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you live today. Our friend Lisa Bevere is back, and she's talking about the fight for female. Let me just say, Lisa, I don't know if you've ever heard me tell this, but my life was wrecked. Psychiatrists say that the most damaging years in a child's life are from 5 to 15. And in those 10 years, I lived in hell because my mother took me away from a home. I had a foster home and took me to where we moved 17 times in 10 years. We didn't live on streets. We lived on dumps and back alleys and it just side streets that weren't even a street. And I was exposed to all manner of evil. And, you know, my father that raped her and got her pregnant when she was 40, and the doctor wouldn't abort me is the only reason I was born. But anyway, I ended up being taken from a foster home by the mother that put me in the foster home. And I lived there in that situation for those 10 years. And I was exposed to everything that destroys life. And, you know, one thing, I really felt sorry for my mother because her parents had died when she was 10 years old and 11 years old, lost the father and the mother. And she's very pretty, and evidently she was chaste. I think she probably married as a pretty young teenager, but it wasn't a good marriage. So she went through a lot of heartache, and then, you know, she ends up getting raped, getting a baby, doesn't get the baby aborted, gives me a home, but then she takes me. And so when she had me, I began to see how bad she was hurt. Mm-hmm. And I began to care very deeply. And I've always thought women are the most beautiful creation God ever made, but I also just had a tremendous sense of compassion and desire for them to be blessed. And when I left home, which I did because my father came and tried to kill my mother and I ended up nearly killing him in self-defense. But the first place I went, when I went back to the foster home, which was a pastor's home, I met this girl on the front steps of the church. And, you know, I was impressed. She was pretty and sweet smile. And that night, though, I was standing behind her, and she turned around and looked at me. And she had on a kind of a fit dress that
it's
was
called a sheath.
Called a sheath. Well, what was in that sheath was magnificent. And this beautiful smile, she began. I said, "Now that right there, that's a girl, buddy." And I wanted to meet her. And here's the thing: I need you to know. She changed my life. I saw the beauty and the purity of Jesus. And God used her. And Lisa, I was very shy. Betty felt like she was the left out middle child of a very brilliant sister and an athlete brother. And she's just the child and nobody notices. And she felt like, you know, she couldn't do much. She changed my life. Mm-hmm. And I think you can see why. Yeah. She's a life changer. When you fight for female, and by the way, women know I'm fight for them because I know what it is to see you hurt and used. Mm-hmm. And that's what the sexual activity and all that's on the internet now and everything that the kids are being exposed to, it just makes women look like such a thing to be used and abused. It just breaks my heart. Well, I want to know, when you got this stir to fight for female, mm-hmm. would you agree that women have been totally misdirected, misguided, misused, and abused, and overlooked, and not really appreciated like they should be?
Absolutely. And I feel like even in the church, women haven't been able to find, where's my value? Where's my voice? What is my role? What is my contribution? I know for me, coming from a family that said, you can do anything you want as a woman, until I became a Christian. And once I became a Christian, then it was like, you have to have a head covering. You have to only talk if you're married, or only if you're not talking with authority. Or I mean, it got so it got so confusing, all the loops. And this is not a time period for women to not have a voice. Women and men together, there are things for the women to fight and there are things for the men to fight. But instead, we've settled for fighting with one another. Yes, women have been oppressed. Yes, women have been abused. I don't believe feminism would have gained as much traction if women were loved the way they were told to be loved. The Bible is so clear. It gives way more instruction on how a man is to love and nurture and wash his wife with the water of the word. There is so much care given to the woman. She's protected. She's a co-heir with a joint heir with a grace of life. But we have not honored that. We have not done it well. And we have acted like the woman was an afterthought, you know, that she was like an add-on. But the woman was not an add-on. Matter of fact, in the beginning, it was Ish and Isha. Their names were so closely related. But after the fall, the woman was named Eve. She became what she did instead of how she was related. And right now, we have male and female, and they are two sides of the same coin. And I'm not a coin collector, but I have heard that if you have one side that's perfect and the other side that's defaced, the whole coin loses its value. And right now, we need both men and we need women, and we need both to be valued for their unique presentation and strength. And so when I wrote this book, I found myself angry about the misogyny, but also the hisogyny. I don't like seeing men emasculated. I'm the mother of four boys. I don't like to see that men are being mocked or stripped. They don't even know how to behave in culture and society. I don't like that women are being told if they want to be powerful, they need to go into the man's world. I want the woman to know that she's valuable in her world. I feel like we have that modeled in Proverbs 31. She has fields, she has investment, she has enterprise, but she has family, and she has a husband who is honored. So all of that can be part of the package. But when I was writing this book, I saw how systematically the enemy has stripped the women of their value. He tells us our bodies are never pretty enough, never thin enough, never, you know, what Betty was in the sheath. You know, like, it's always outside of your reach. I don't know that guys feel that. And then not only is that up for grabs, but then there is a shame on the woman. They're being sexualized. The beauty isn't celebrated. It is demeaned, like she needs to be covered. She's immodest. She's this. And so there's this constant messaging of sexualized and silenced. We have shame, we have oppression. But Jesus is the one who liberates women. And you have always been a voice of encouragement and strength to me. You have always told me that I can have a voice. You've always told me to be loving, but to be truthful. You've always encouraged me, Betty, that I can see James as a father. You've never felt threatened by that relationship. You've always honored me and honored my husband, and I will forever be thankful for that. But this is rare. This is rare. And we need to flourish. I believe that we fight by flourishing. I don't believe we fight by protesting. I don't believe we fight with anger. I don't believe we fight with social media. I believe as women, we fight by flourishing. I've started a podcast with one of my daughter-in-laws, and we have this opportunity to interview brilliant people. And I had done this cultural summit with this gentleman. He's from Belgium, and he is a brilliant expert on totalitarianism, which is really what we're on the verge of right now. And he began to talk to his nation about what was going on. And he said, listen, this is the stats, and this is what I'm picking up on. He's also a psychoanalyst. And I listened to him talk, and I thought, wow, we're on the verge of what he's already experienced. And so Christian and I are interviewing him, we're talking to him. And I said, what do we do? What do we do? We're mothers, we're grandmas, what do we do? And he said, consistent, clear, courageous conversations.
Wow.
And there are people sitting at home right now that you and I, we're talking, mm-hmm. and they're hearing, wait a minute, they're saying out loud, consistent, clear conversations. Because when the pandemic happened, I believe there was a second epidemic. I believe there was an epidemic of cowardice. I believe that people stopped using their voices, that they began to cancel themselves. When people said, you need to be quiet, they were so scared. But people follow courage. And so I wanted to give an infusion of courage back and say, you're not wrong. You need to stop doubting yourself. Female is a sacred entrustment. Male is a sacred entrustment. And then I began to think, well, when did this attack begin? So I went back to the origins of feminism, and I began to look at who was the beginning of this thought. Well, it started during the French Revolution, and it was a woman named Mary Wollstonecraft, and she actually died in childbirth with Mary Shelley. Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein, and this is a very scary, very twisted root of feminism. It was we believe that the serpent was a wise counselor and that God was a prohibitive, you know, restrictive, men and women shouldn't be married. It was always about a breakdown of the family. Mm-hmm. And when I started to study about more of the modern, I discovered that in 1969, 12 women, that's it, got together. And they said, why are we here today? And the leader said, they asked the question, they said, to make a cultural revolution. And they said, okay, how do we make this cultural revolution? They said, by destroying the American family. Mm. And they said, how do we destroy the American family? By destroying the American patriarch. How do we destroy the American patriarch? By taking away his power. How do we take away his power? By destroying monogamy. You just talked about how Betty and you're the power union by destroying monogamy. And they said, how do we destroy monogamy? By promoting prostitution, promiscuity, eroticism, which is pornography, and homosexuality. And then they laid out the plans for the National Organization of Women and how this was going to infiltrate all of the government branches, all the way down to the school libraries. I don't know if you're aware of what is happening in the school libraries, things that are so obscene that the school board will not listen to, but they're allowing children to read these things. And I have had so many people, when I say, hey, I'm doing the fight, they're like, where are the feminist voice? Why aren't they upset about female athletes mm-hmm. being displaced? Why aren't they upset about young girls getting injured? Well, this has always been the plan. But it's not really the plan of the feminists. It's the plan of the enemy. It is the plan because, see, he hates women. He hates women. He hates what we carry. He hates our divine imagery. He hates male and female. And he hates the next generation. And we have a generation who is going in the highways and the byways trying to find out who they are. And they are being constantly sent imagery that says they are wrong, they are not good enough. Their minds are actually changing the way they think. And I believe that it is time to begin to prophesy to that generation that they're not victims, that they're threats.
And I think that's exactly what you did in this book. Betty, you respond to what you wrote. Yeah.
Well, let me say, first of all, I am thankful that God allowed me to meet this man and to us to have a marriage and to make a home and a family. My heart's desire has always been to be a wife mm-hmm. and a mother, a carer of our precious children, to be a guide for them. I haven't felt like I've missed out on anything.
Yeah.
I haven't felt incomplete because I was where God put me.
Yeah.
That's not to say that women can't work, go out.
You've been all over the world.
Yeah, we have. But at the same time, God will show you the balance there to not leave your family out because you have a job. But
right.
He'll show you how, if it's the right job, to show you how to work it together. But for me, home was my castle.
Yeah.
Home was my place, and it still is. I cherish home. I cherish our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. What a beautiful life we have had thus far. God has blessed us so much. I haven't missed anything, but not being out in the work world. That was not for me. I have felt very complete, and I feel like God has a place for women in the home. You know, it's an important job we have, rearing our children.
Yeah.
And the man is trying to make a living, trying to provide. And he has always been such a supporter of mine. He has never belittled me mm-hmm. for what I did. He always backed me in the correcting of the children. We're a team.
Right.
And I believe that's what God wants. He wants us to be a team. We're one together.
And you know what? We've been 30 years at your side together. God brought us together. And we've watched you and John. Y'all are powerful personalities, both of you. And takes the power of God to give you the kind of respect level you ought to have for one another, which you do have, because you could be almost competitively in your own strengths. But you've blended, and we've been able to help inspire some of that.
Absolutely.
But the four of us are very unique examples of what God wants us to be with our unique design. Mm-hmm. And we do it together, and we've grown together. And I want to say that I've met lots of people, and we've had lots of families and children on this show. I don't know any four children I admire any more than I do your four sons.
Oh, thank you.
I'm amazed at them.
Yeah.
They are a gift from God.
Yeah.
But they have been gifted by God through a powerful mom and a powerful dad and a powerful couple that showed them clearly strong people can live together. They can disagree appropriately. They can get to the right place correctly. And they can be a good example without indicating their perfect example.
Yeah.
And they can point to the one that is perfect, that deals with all our challenges, and they see it.
Yeah.
And it's come out as the fruit in their life.
Right.
I mean, your children are beautiful. We think ours are too. We now got 30 children, including grandchildren and great-grandchildren,
and
our three children. And you've got a family that's growing, and you're going to have lots of grandbabies too, I'm convinced, before it's probably all over. I don't know if you'll get 30 grandchildren, including
I'm having
great.
A hard time keeping track of the birthdays right now. So I feel like I need a spreadsheet. But yes.
Anyway, we really love you, and I'm so excited that you wrote this book, because I know God put it on your heart. He put it in your heart, and I know it's going to be highly effective when you read it. Lisa, the last word you want to say to women, as we've just kind of shared about the attack on the family, the attack on women, the attack on relationship, the attack on everything sacred and precious.
Yeah.
What's your last word to the viewers today?
You have no idea how powerful your conversations are. People want to actually have conversations. And when I heard this man say that to me, I realized that is how the early church started. They were from house to house. They worshiped God, but they had conversation and they had dinner. They ate meals together. And I don't want women sitting at home to ever doubt how powerful those meals are, those conversations,
right.
The clarity. And if you were a coward last year, if you were a coward yesterday, you get mercy new every single morning. You can recover your voice. You have the right to change your mind. You can walk in clarity. You can walk in courage. And I really hope that this book, I wrote this book hoping that a generation of women would wake up and realize what was at risk.
Father, I pray that for this book, that it will be a wake-up call with instruction and inspiration. And I believe it is, in Jesus' name. You can get it online. Go to the bookstore. Or we'll gladly send it to you if you'll simply help us set some captives free from sexual predation, which Lisa's been many times to help rescue them. She's seen them where they are.
Yeah.
She's seen them when they've been rescued. She's seen the Destiny House, which is where thousands and thousands of children have been taken out of total prison, enslaved, and set free with a magnificent life, praising God. You enable that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for those who'll be moved by your spirit to put your arms around the suffering that can be set free in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to watch a father that really loves people, our mission director, John Yates. Just listen to him as he walks with a broken heart that God's love through you can heal.
If you look behind me, it sounds like a big party, but all I see is brokenness, pain, sorrow, regret, and shame. And I can tell you right now, there's 1,000 girls right behind me who did not wake up at 7 years old and think, I want to do this for the rest of my life. And as a dad, I'm just broken. beyond all the lights and everything you see. And as Americans, you think people choose this. Like, no little girl woke up thinking they wanted to be a go-go dancer or a prostitute or a massage bar worker. I'm a dad. Don't tell me that. I know better. Nobody chooses this life. It's chosen because there seems to be no other hope. If I could wrap them all up in my arms and say there's a better way, there is a hope. But this is what I know. Jesus has a better way. It is not this. There's some amazing mission partners that are giving their lives, sacrificed everything to help young girls, young boys, find a better way. And I want to do, and I'm asking you to do everything you can to keep them here so that young people can have a better life. Thank you for helping us. God bless you. We love you. We need you. We need you more now than probably ever before. We need your help.
I'm praying for the greatest outpouring of love I've ever seen. $128 a rescue one. You saw that beautiful home. Love built that. We started with rent houses. And that is the most incredible outreach center on the planet. But in the other areas in Asia, everywhere, all the third world countries, we've rescued thousands of people. And I say we, that's you. That's us, not me and Betty. And by the way, we do our part, I mean big time, not just give our lives, but we give our support. Would you right now take advantage of an incredible offer that some of our supporters like you have put on the table? A $320,000 matching gift right now. In other words, if you would rescue one right now with a $128 gift, it would be two. It'd be doubled. I always ask you, give much bigger than you would think. If you could help rescue 10 by giving literally $1,280, you wouldn't rescue 10, you'd rescue 20. It would be doubled. Would you please go get your bank card and use it like a check, please, right now? Please do it. Always use those cards like a check. If you write a check, make it to life. Be sure you let us know by calling that number and saying, here's what I've given today. We need to know, and we'll get it matched. Father, please help everyone watching to go get that bank card and use it for as great a purpose as possible. To redeem life, to save life, to give life, to set people free, in Jesus' name. Would you please do it? We have some beautiful gifts to send you. We're going to send you the book, Worship, Wisdom, and Wonder. The beautiful, beautiful picture really references the stream and the water of life that's pouring out. And we have the bronze. Please make that special gift that gives life. Sets people free. Betty, I'm believing everybody watching is going to help us.
I know you will. I know your heart was touched as you listened to our missionary and how he walked through those corridors of sin, basically. People that had trapped these young women, these little girls, basically, and taken their lives from them. But we can give them back to them. We can give them hope. Please join with us.
I thought John Yates did a great job as a father and as a mission director right now. Thank you, John. Thank you, God. Please put God's arms around them. Lift them out of the pit of defeat. Set them free. Thank you so much.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help rescue one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 Mission Rescue gift will be doubled to $64. $4 to say thank you for your gift. We'll send you Worship, Wisdom, and Wonder. The pages of this beautifully crafted book are rich with words that will inspire you as you experience the worship found in Psalms. Receive life-giving direction through the wisdom of Proverbs and be reminded of the wonder of our God. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Refuge of Life framed artwork, a beautiful matted picture frame with printed scripture that reminds you to set your mind on worship through the words of Isaiah 44:3. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
If a child goes across this border illegally in the hands of a human trafficker, the chances of finding them becomes nearly impossible. We have mission partners at this border crossing that are trained to intervene. They're trained to recognize and know what to look for when it comes to potential children being victimized. I have confidence in you, our mission partners, that we can work together to make sure that a mom and dad never have to wake up with the fear and the tragedy and the pain of knowing their child is gone. We desperately need to tell our mission partners, listen, there's more oil coming for your lamp. There's more resource coming. You can hire more staff. You can stay longer. You don't have to be afraid of running out, because Life Outreach and the Partners of Life are promising you that we're going to be there to help for the long haul.
And I know you were moved by what you heard. I know by what you heard John saying about those precious children. Thank you for helping us. As for the book, if you'd like to have it, you help us set somebody free. You want the book along with the other gifts, we'll send them to you, okay? And pray for Lisa and John. What an example they are. Lisa, give my love to John, our love to John. Tell those boys what I said about them, okay?
It'll make
their
day.
Because they've been a blessing here. And we're praying for you. You keep praying for us, okay?
Absolutely.
We need to get together sometime.
Yeah,
we haven't been together in a while, okay?
We need to make that happen.
We do, and we will. Thank you. Thank you for making Life Today happen and all the outreaches of life happen. Thank you very much.
Introducing the all-new LifeToday.org. Dive into your favorite Life Today programs, explore impactful ministry outreaches, and discover life-changing spiritual resources. Visit LifeToday.org and experience the best of life.
Kayla Steckline became a widow when her pastor husband died by suicide.
And it was this moment where I realized for the first time, like, I chose healing.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.